Good morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Wow.
Guess what, everybody?
I know what's up.
It is time for some Car Guy Coffee. This is Lou Ramirez, the Car Guy.
This is Fred Lenars, the subprime hero.
And we are doing solutions with a very special guest that is just coming to join together with us to illuminate a light into this business that just can't be stopped. We are Brewing Solutions, and we are excited to have David Villa inside of the cafe with us today to do something smart. Help your brothers out. Help your sisters out. Tag a car guy. Tag a car gal. Get some people up in here watching this. Share this around while you watch this intro, and we get stretched and ready to
get
focused. Fly.
Get excited.
And do some conversations over a cup of coffee.
It's time.
Let's fly.
Let's brew.
Car gals, hopefully you went ahead and tagged a couple of car guys and car gals and shared that around a little bit. We just put that out there. Do what it is that you can to get yourself prepared, get your hearts ready, get your minds locked in and focused to be able to take some nuggets and take some truth with you into the world that you get to impact today. I'm just crazy excited. I'm so inspired. I'm going to probably overtalk a whole lot, but I got somebody that I really just want to just dig into and listen and actually glean from because he's been such an inspiration to us.
I definitely know that he has
somebody
been.
We're watching and trying to take our next steps in not necessarily trying to be, but trying to have the type of reputation and trying to have the type of heartbeat
there you go.
Of effective
a great way
growth inside of an industry that needs more people that are of the light. Okay, so car gals, I mean, again, I'm going to over-talk about how excited I am, and I'm sure that you guys can't imagine. But
man.
I know Fred's excited to be here, and we got to get this cup of coffee in because we got Mr. Lead or Be Lunch himself inside of the cafe.
You ready?
I'm ready. Let's bring him in. Bring him in.
We have
car guys, Mr. Car Gals. David Villa is in here. What's going on? Game changer himself.
What's up, guys? Man, I tell you what, man, your intro made me dance. I was sitting there just going along with it, and I'm like, that's really – I love that, man.
We enjoy that intro. We love it. It gets us pumped up. And that video, that's just – we don't even have to watch the video. Just hearing that sound gets Lou and I just – so energized to do these interviews, and we're so excited to have you here, David. Thank you so much.
So excited.
It's my honor, man.
Somebody that I think is a pretty smart guy that we can all agree with, Albert Einstein. This is one of my favorite quotes from Albert Einstein. Is that the athletes of God are dancers, or dancers are the athletes of God. I love that. I'm such a dancer at heart, and I enjoy that type of smart people talk. That it's as simple as enjoy yourself, dance, keep smiling, have a good time. That is a culture that we're trying to definitely breed. And man, we just want to caffeinate everybody's culture. Welcome to the cafe, David. Welcome.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you. I'm about to have a Starbucks delivered right here on the desk in a couple of minutes. I can't wait. So absolutely. I want one of those. I want something from you guys, man. If you send me something, I don't know if you guys had mugs or whatever you got. I want to put one on I collect them. I got a whole shelf of like hundreds of mugs. I want to put one up there, but I was watching that. I said, that's really cool. That's
swag is on its way to you.
The swag is definitely on its way to you.
Nice.
Sure. You know, let us know. We'd love to send that. We'll send that out. We'll get your address. For Give Focus Fly, of course. Yeah, you know, speaking of that,
we're going to do something that we believe is the ultimate formula to making sure that we can keep growing. And that's to apply the three F's in our life. Because we've been forgiven, we should forgive. The power of forgiveness gives us the opportunity to free up our hands so that we can focus on where it is that we are destined to go, where it is we dream to go, and where it is that we're sent to go. And then we release, trust that we are going to go to the heights that we've only dreamt of and fly to these great levels and then keep growing.
Keep growing.
Keep
that's
growing.
Right.
And to keep growing, you know, you got to flap them wings. You got to keep it moving. And it's exciting that we get to have so many people like you saw on the video do that with us. And it's truly what we want to make sure gets deposited to everybody that we do get the chance to meet. It's Forgive, Focus, Fly, and keep growing. So we appreciate you for joining us. But let's get ready to do that. Car guys and car gals all over the place, go ahead and put your hands on the shoulders one time. Ready? And you're going to wipe it off on three. One, two, three. Forgive. Focus. Get right here. Get right here. Give me focus. And fly. Bam.
And keep growing.
Yeah.
Growing. That's what, man. I love it. He's flying. He's soaring right now. And that's something I think David's been doing his whole life is soaring. And he understands what it means to soar. What it means to soar, you know, is to forgive, you know, just like Lou said, to focus on it. And then you can start flying. And David, you are flying to some heights that a lot of people are watching. And we're so excited to have you on the show. You are a good example of a leader that leads by example. Right? That sounds funny that I said it that way. But you do. You know, I see what you're doing. I see how much your team loves you. I see how much your guests love you and all the people that you keep bringing in. You got people like Glenn Lundy coming into your show. I mean, I've seen people that we've had. Justin Jarrett came out to your studio, did a show there about a year or so ago. You know, and I love Justin. He's a great young man. He's a great rising star in the car business as a general manager. But that's just like a couple people. I mean, you can name one after another. And what all you've done with all those people is just bring light to them. You brought more light to them. You helped share that light, which in turn made your internal light get bigger. And I absolutely love what you're doing. I'm excited to have you here. We're going to ask you these five questions. And these five questions, we're going to get to know you a little bit more. I want to hear about your backstory. I want to hear about how you got to where you're at. You know, even if it's something that people, maybe hopefully it's something that no one's ever heard before. We'll find out here in a little bit.
Hope we get an exclusive.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I know that you've been on a few things. But, you know, the first question I like to ask everybody, David, is their purpose and their why. What drives them and what motivates them? Because, you know, like Simon Sinek said during his TED Talk, he said, it all starts with the why. Mm-hmm. And I think it is true. So what is your why? What is your purpose?
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on, man. It's an honor. So my purpose, I mean, I'm a man of faith. I'm a person of faith. And I say that with humility and gratefulness because so my why is, you know, to please my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to be an example, you know, that he's called me to be. And so I think so with that, though, so it's not enough to just say that if he's my why, what's his why? His why is to touch people, right? And so if that's my why, then I've got to take on his. And so my why extended to this earth is first, I think, in the order of after God, family, you know, as a person who's been married 27 years, has three beautiful children who are grown, and one's married with, and I have a first granddaughter and who's 11 months to yesterday, and then one who's engaged, and then my son, and just so my why is them, and then my people that work here, and then just trying to touch, you know, as many people with the gospel, bringing this message of Christ, bringing a message of faith into marketplace, you know, into what I do. So my why is to see people reach their full potential.
That's huge. To be so committed to that on a daily basis inside of this industry that has been crying out for something real, crying out for something genuine, especially the employees that get brought in early, right? There, I mean, these are such impressionable people at different times of their life, right? And what it is that they see of people that make great money, that sell a bunch of cars or solve a lot of problems, whichever way it is, they're looking for more than that. What does your marriage look like? What does your relationship with your kids look like? I can't spend enough time talking of the way that I would actually hear people verbalize that they're going on into their evening to neglect their family and to neglect their wife. And it was almost like a trophy to see how many divorces people had. You know what I mean? I saw that in the military in certain of the job types, right? Mm-hmm. It's like they wore that like it was a great success. Rather than people championing those that had fiery, great marriages and had a great relationship with their children. You know what I mean? There was a lot that we had to juggle with trying to get a grip on in this business. And there weren't too many people that would make sure to prioritize those things to the people they were mentoring like you're doing today. And you get the opportunity to launch that type of mentorship into the onto the eyes of many and into the ears of many by these great tools that we get to have. And that's why I feel as though there's so much that's happening in that shift to where you're able to actually be more sought out with that truth than you are actually having to go seek opportunities to spread that around. You know, used to be the evangelist would have to find a bunch of churches to show up to. Now mm-hmm. a bunch of people can find the evangelist, you know, or find the person that is actually saying that truth. You can Google your name real quick, right? You can find people that are of faith. If somebody's coming in the car business now, they can say, how does a Christian car guy do this? You know what I mean? These are things that we didn't have earlier in the day. And it was always such a challenge to glean that light, to shine that light, to be that bold about your faith in a business where you were trying to change the model of whether you were taking advantage of somebody or you actually helping them out. You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong. You know, there's a lot of compromise that has occurred in my life that I screwed up on. And I should have been a little more bolder in my youth while dealing with different mentors. You know, some of my motivations got jacked up and I, you know, the Father had to get me back in place. You know what I mean? Hey, remember what it is that you're doing here. Remember?
We've all jacked up. Man, I tell you, and you know, another thing too, thinking growing up in like church and ministry, things like that, you were talking about like the evangelist had to go to a church and I thought I had to do that for a while. That was my model, but you know, and I had an identity crisis. You know what I mean? Like what am I supposed to do here? I have this, you know, I feel like I'm called to talk to people about God, but you know, it's not cutting. You know, I'm not making any money. Not that you did it for money, but I'm traveling around. We're broke. When we first got married, busted, disgusted, small children. My wife's like, you need to do something, you know? And so God was trying to get me to allow him to break the mold. And, you know, and so today talking to more people than I've ever talked to, and I still do a lot of stuff inside of church, but you know, so, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there that have that identity crisis. Like, it's like, you know, I have this call in my life. That means I've got to be in a church. No, I mean, 99% of ministry happens outside of the walls of a church on Sunday.
Come on, say that.
I love it. And that's exactly well put, because a lot of people, you're right, you do have to believe, you have to be in the church to do those things. But no, you can send that message. You can be that message. You can be of faith. You can be a man that really cares, or a woman that cares about other people, and do it without being in a church. Matter of fact, it's most important, because churches, most people only go twice a week, maybe Wednesday and Sunday, right? Yeah. So the rest of the week, you got to still put that out there. You still got to be a person of faith. You still have to share love, and you still have to bring the word. And I tell you, it's actually way more important, you know, to do it every single day, and it's to do it in different ways. You know, whether you're doing it at your workplace, inside your family's home, with your friends and family, with people that you connect with. Now we're talking about the internet. We're talking about people that follow you, or maybe you follow them. It's always good to keep that good word out there. And the message is just, it's to be happy and to understand that faith, that good things are to come, that the challenges are there for us to learn from and to grow from. And once those challenges are over, you're going to have abundance of greatness, right? He wants you to have abundance. He wants you to have all these things because you deserve it. But of course, faith without works, right?
It is dead.
Dead.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the key. And that's, but it's that in everything. And I think that obviously if you live by that message and you do put that and apply that to everything in life,
mm-hmm.
amazing things happen, you know. And it's in, I, you know, I know Lou's a testament to it. Yeah. I know I am. Obviously you are. There's a lot in the whole world is, you know, when you see
something, man, that you might've heard this, you know, it was a churchism, you know, growing up in ministry and things like that, and youth and what have you. But, you know, a lot of people may have never heard this, and, you know, but you may be, and just kind of hear this for a second, you know, that you may be the only Jesus somebody sees, the only Bible someone reads. And I'm not saying we're Jesus, but he's physically not here. He left and said, hey, I'm going, and I'm going to, you know, give you my spirit. I'm going to live in all men everywhere. The physical man, Jesus, was only in one small area of the world for three years of major ministry. So you may, and I may be the only, you know, gospel that someone hears, so to speak. So I think that not only is it powerful, man, because, you know, our testimony is not just, it's for, not just for us to say, man, this, you know, but it's for other people, and it could set people free, and people need to hear it. I can't tell you how many times people have reached out, don't even know who they are. I mean, people that follow on Facebook or whatever, that, you know, and I don't know most of those people personally. Their message, and I mean, I've had a chance to talk to people that messaged me at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I mean, want me to pray with them and talk to them, and they were, you know, just all kinds of things. So,
absolutely.
Man, it's you don't ever discount your story, because people can't relate to someone. I don't want to talk to anybody that doesn't have a limp. You know what I mean? If you don't have a limp, if you're not walking around with a limp spiritually, you know what I'm saying? Like in life, don't even talk to me, man. I mean, look, if you got it all together, I can't relate to you. You know, I can't relate to you.
That's right. Absolutely.
I love that. It's well put. Yeah.
That's so the car business, on the side of he's here to solve problems on the car guy side, right? So
yeah.
He has a heartbeat that says there's a problem with you, and I have a actual product that can suit that problem. Mm-hmm. But I also have a vehicle that'll help you get where you're actually going. And it's because of my connection to the one that has the keys, right? Mm-hmm. He has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He has the keys to all the things that it is we're needing to see unlocked in our life. And ultimately, yep. as long as we are with him, mm-hmm. we're good. And you know what I mean? It's not necessarily him being with us. We know where we stand. Wherever he's at, it's where I am. And yeah. the thing that so many people get caught up and stuck in is that they think that a ministry has to be in the church. You're so right on that. You know, that's I'm so not wanting to settle for the thought that the only time you can talk about the Lord is when society says you have to. You know, they told you, yeah. they told so many people to take out of your business area conversations of religion and politics. And me personally, there is a strategic way to be a gentleman about speaking of mm-hmm. your faith, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I also believe that people that are a mile wide and an inch deep don't want to have the conversations that are a mile deep, you know, and an inch wide. You know, that they're not as firmly grounded mm-hmm. to where they have that certainty to engage in that conversation. So it's going to raise tension up. Right.
Right.
And same thing with politics. The politics side gets into the mix. And usually the debate is over things that are falsehoods. The mm-hmm. fight is over falsehoods. It's never very what's true. Actual, genuine and tangible.
Or what matters. It's never about what matters.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's where we find ourselves trying to make sure that no matter where it is that we are, we do what it is we're called to do. We actually show that light and love. For the Father. And that love is always coming without judgment. That yes. love is always coming without a finger of rebuke. That love is always coming to say, hey, whatever it is that you're carrying, I want to take you on. You know, I'm mm-hmm. still the Father. You put your arms up to me. I'm coming for you. And
right.
and letting people know that there could be that family relationship inside of your business life, inside of your relationship with your customer
yes.
life, you know, and it all actually stems from having the altar left at your house, right? Obed Edom, right? Having that sitting there and building from that point forward and spilling over into where it is.
Someone's got some Bible history in them, man. Obed Edom. Well, that's pretty deep right there. Now, that's a story that not everybody preaches on, but that's come on now.
But I mean, I'm more of a street preacher.
Right.
I've gone for years saying that I don't preach on the carpet, I preach on the concrete. And, you know, and that's more of who it is that I reach out to is those that are not hearing, those that are not coming to church. Why? Because mm-hmm. they don't trust people.
But you know something is something that not to get deep because, I mean, it could be, you know, because I know you got, you know, people watching. You said a word, you know, Obed Edom. And if I don't quickly say something after that, people are like, what's he saying?
Right.
But one thing about it, this is just really, this maybe to talk to someone that's watching this, that's a business person, that's a Christian. Cause for a long time, guys, I was a Christian that owned a business, but today we're a Christian business. You know, we're a business of faith. It's a difference. And, you know, and that doesn't mean that we, you know, interview someone and be like, you know, you gotta be saved to work here, you know, but I tell you what, you work here long enough, you're gonna get saved probably. But Obed Edom thing, I think that to maybe the Christian business person that's watching going, man, how do I implement that just beyond me being a Christian? You know, no one said you gotta bring a Bible out and, you know, hit somebody over the head with it, but the premise of that story of Obed Edom is that when the presence of God, right, the Ark of the Covenant was in his house, everything was blessed. So much so that when David, right, the king, went to go get the Ark of the Covenant back from him and he left, Obed Edom went with it. Think right. about this for a second. He left his house and his family. And he's like, listen, I don't want to live without the presence of God. We're leaving our house and we're going to go with you. And that's so you put God in the middle of what you do, he'll blow your mind. The phones will ring and people will come in and I'm telling you, the favor of God is a big deal. So I think that when we learn how to tap into that and not be ashamed of it, man, you're talking about Solomon's story right there, right? People are start figuring out what you're trying to figure out what you're doing.
You know, right. Anyway. Right. And the boldness that comes from that, again, a person properly identified does not have the battle of certainty.
Yeah.
When they know whose they are, when they know who loves them and who it is that their source of love comes from, mm-hmm. you know, it's very easy to forgive, focus, and fly. You know what I mean? It's very easy to apply good business practices that take care of your customer. I do want to quote Proverbs. Proverbs 22:1 says, "A beautiful reputation is more desired than great riches, and to be esteemed by others is more honorable than to own immense investments." The word, I mean, very smart guys. That's very smart words. That is definitely the word of God, and is making sure that you guys get it and understand that your reputation is what's going to help make the room for you. You're trying to seek out, just the sale, just the completion of the transaction, just being transactional based is not going to be what builds your reputation. What builds your reputation is how you put relationships and prioritize those relationships. And we got the chance to talk on your show, and we spoke about the cornerstone. You know, if that cornerstone's not in place, other things are not going to line up. Just the rest of life is not going to come together. And it's a great honor to just blow wind into the sail and clap and amen. People like David that are here that are doing great things, not just for the car business, not just for your business, but for the kingdom. Okay, we may have a lot going on inside of the world, nation and nation this and nation that, and people torn apart. But we're part of a kingdom, and Daddy's the king, and we get the chance to do great things because we've been empowered by him to do it. This is our world, folks. This is your world. You know, you put together the way that it is you're supposed to do it and trust the Father to bring the rest, right? He Amen. Brings the growth. But no, I'm so excited to have you in here.
No, it really is. I'm super excited. I know Lou's pumped. You can tell. Lou's like all about this, and I'm very much so stoked. But Lou, you two, I mean, I could tell you, I've watched a lot of your stuff, David, and then I listened to Lou talk. You two are very similar-minded people, and I, you know, don't get me wrong, we're all very similar-minded, but the way you implement what you do and the way mm-hmm. he implements yes. what he does, that's why I couldn't wait to have you on the show, because I knew that Lou was going to just have a blast, because this is exactly what we needed to have. This is exactly what the nation needs right now. I know we're going through so many different things over the last year. We're going through all these things, but people, have faith. Mm-hmm. Have faith. We need to have faith more than ever right now.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to do – there's all kinds of reasons why people are trying to take this away and pull that away. But you know what? When you have faith, you know the good's coming. You know that the best is yet to come. And it is. Just keep working towards it and be faithful. I love your answer mm-hmm. to our question to why.
Yes.
Having that first person – you brought God in immediately. You just said, boom, I do it for the glory. You know, and what I'm – for his glory, I should say.
Right.
And you're absolutely right. And I know that about you. And I love that, because when you answer that way, I know it's true. There's just no doubt. That's exactly how I had a feeling it would come out. And I think that is a great way to start with your purpose, right? And I think that's a really good way to segue into our second question. I know
part two. So with that, being that that's where it is that you are in your faith and where it mm-hmm. is that you're cornerstoned at, it brought you to the car business. David, what brought you to the car business to champion this message for the kingdom ultimately?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, and I'll say this too, you know, just a little back. I mean, college dropout. And I can't even really call it a normal. Normally when someone says college dropout, they went like 2 years and dropped out. You know, I went like 2 months, you know? So I don't really know if I ever went too much, but, you know, barely, not, I mean, and I'm pretty smart, you know, I think, you know, it got by the grace of God, but, you know, school wasn't my thing. So I got married very young, had kids, and so I was thrown into, very quickly having to do something. So some people know this, a lot of people that have known me for a while. I've never been on the blacktop side of the car business. And, you know, but I'm not your typical vendor. I've been in the car business, in this side of the business, working with dealers, and even training, for 25 years, if not, well, 94. So maybe a little longer than that. And so I've been on the marketing side, you know, to be honest, I didn't think I'd stay long in it. It wasn't like I had an affinity for the car business in the beginning, or, you know, I was a salesperson. you know, as a, you know, growing up in the younger days, my dad owned an advertising agency back in that time frame that worked with dealerships, did direct mail for dealerships. And I started selling dealers at like 22 years old and worked for him. And about a year and a half later, I wanted to get into ministry. You know, my mom's side of the family were all preachers and ministers. And that's kind of where that identity crisis started. So I went to my dad and said, I'm leaving, you know, because I want to kind of do my own thing, you know, just to make a little bit of money so I can pursue ministry. And he helped me get into business. And, you know, the truth of the matter is I didn't work very hard. I just did what I needed to do to make a little bit of money. So fast forward past that, a few years later, probably 2004. So it was, you know, 16 years ago, I got serious about the business and God really began to show me this is a ministry and what I called you to do. And now it took a long time for me to, you know, probably until 2011 or 12 before I started really being not a Christian and that owned a business, but a Christian business. And that's where really things started exploding the last 8 years. But, so anyway, got into that business, just started, seeing, you know, obviously the lack of just God in the business, a lot of hurting people, but really good people, people that I think, you know, what reminds me of guys like the disciples, like when Jesus picked disciples, mm-hmm. he picked jacked up people. I mean, like the people that were like the most discounted, voted like least likely to make it, you know, just jacked up people, you know, wasn't the religious people. And that's another thing about this whole industry.
Come on.
You know, people like frown at people like Kanye, you know, when he came out, you know, a few months ago, the church was like, oh, well, you know, man, let me tell you something. God wants to use someone like that, you know, because he scoffs at the religious, you know, head, nose up in the air people. And the car business is full of people like that. They're salt of the earth. They're good people. They just have some issues, you know, and I think God's attracted to it. And so, you know, over the course of the years, you know, obviously is from a position of helping dealers and being lucrative and dealers spend money, it worked out from that standpoint. But, you know, I guess, you know, really the thing is when money doesn't motivate you anymore, you make enough money, you know, you better have a why, going back to your first question. And I think this is a really good industry to take, you know, to take your why, you know, if you're a believer, and implement it into touching people's lives and seeing them change. Because let me tell you something, you get the people in the car business and get them saved and get radically, you know, wanting to do something for God. Watch, it's all over. You know, it's all over, man. So I got in the business that way.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, he plugged in so many things there and left it off with such a great explanation of what can happen with the power of people that know how to sell can start to make believers. People. See, that's ultimately what I believe most preachers of the word are doing.
Yes.
They are selling you on the understanding that there is an opportunity and an open door for you to have an encounter. They are preaching that just like a salesperson is preaching to you the opportunity that you have to upgrade and have a better life because of this one vehicle that you're looking at right now. But you are, as the salesperson, designed to make a believer out of them in the truth that you're telling them, because you're coming from a place of true conviction that you've experienced that this is the better way for them. You're the yes. trusted leader, the advisor, not yes. a script reader, a leader, right? And in the gospel, we are designed to go say the good news, spread the good news. That's it. We're here to spread the good news. That's ultimately the command that we've been given. Love each other, love our Father, and go spread some good news. And from the marketing standpoint, what your whole mission to do is to put out there the joy of doing business with a dealer, right? The joy of being able to make that process come into where you can get what it is that you're looking for. Just like in the kingdom, a promise, if you find the Father, you find everything else that you didn't even know you were looking for. And once that happens, and once that faith connection occurs, that's it. You're sold for life, your family for life. And you're bringing that type of culture into the car business, which is key that people understand that that's ultimately what we're doing. We're making believers. And when salespeople start looking at the world as, hey, we get the chance to make more believers out of people. Oh, boom. Man, we're in such a time as this.